from stpetecatalyst.com.
Hey, I'm Bill DeYoung, and this is the Catalyst Sessions. Notice how I said, hey, it was like a rock and roll song. Happy to be here with you today and with my friend Ed Waltill, who is talking about his brand new album, first one in 6 years, called One in My Tree. Ed, is that a reference to Strawberry Fields Forever? I'm seeing Beatles stuff. Well, so much in your music, but on the wall.
Yeah, it isn't really. I've had other people ask that, but that may have been in my subconscious a little bit. But
yeah,
that actually is one of the lyrics from a song on the new record. So I lifted that lyric for the album title.
No One, I think, is in my tree. I mean, that song still, I think that may be my favorite song in the universe.
Yeah.
Strawberry Fields Forever. It's just, it reaches me on so many levels. There's so much that's, and I mean this in the most beautiful way, and I think you do too. There's so much that's Beatlesque about what you do, which is why I sort of connected with your music right away. We've got lots to talk about today, including this new record, but you were going to play something, I think.
Yeah, let's do one from the album. This is the lead-off track. It's called When We Fall in Love. Went and fell in love. Now that changes things completely. Thought you were above the shaky knees and sweaty hands. You were so bold and in control. Now this ruins all your plans. No one ever said we would understand what happens when we fall in love. With your heart, now you're gonna have to share it. Even that tender part that he will never understand. But there it is, you gave it up. You went and placed it in his hands. No guarantees, rules or demands are delivered when we fall in love. Of all the things you could have done, this is the least convenient one. Trembling on the precipice, darling, now you've really made a mess of this. Your mind, you won't find it by denying. So if you left behind has no place where you now stand. You can't retrace or erase with some magic backward glance. This is your time, no second chance to fall back on when we fall in love. What in the world are we thinking when we fall in love?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Ed Waltill, and I'm glad you played that song that kicks off the record, because it reminds me, the production of it, it makes me think, I always think about power pop, and I think about, oh, the Raspberries and Badfinger and all that stuff. But mostly what it makes me think about, other than you, would be, you know, like Todd Rundgren or maybe Marshall Crenshaw. You know, that incredibly nuanced, cool pop production. Pure pop for now, people, is not a bad thing. That's
Nick Lowe right there on the
there he is.
Closet
Nick
door.
Told us so long ago. Let's talk about inspirations, first of all. I know what school you come from. I think I do from, you know, knowing some of your background. But talk about the things that got you into music in the first place and why you went the direction you went.
Yeah, I mean, we're already talking about it with the Beatles and Todd Rundgren and Badfinger. You've mentioned all the things, you know, and that I've loved. And it just started early on, I think. As you hinted, we're roughly contemporaries.
Yeah.
And you probably remember that it sounds so funny to people that weren't there probably, but when the Beatles hit America, you know, when they came off the plane and when they were on the Ed Sullivan Show and those first singles, it's hard to imagine now, but that was such a new, fresh sound. And it was like a big bang.
Yeah,
you know, that really hit me. It really just grabbed my little 5, 6, 7-year-old self.
And you're a local guy, right? You're from around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. So that kind of started the lifelong, you know, love. That really unlocked my love for music there. And it just, you know, from there, I naturally gravitated to other pop artists. We're talking about Nick Lowe, Crowded House, yeah. You know. Right on.
Oh, I love Crowded House. That's one of my core bands.
Yeah. Too. So yeah. That family, I think of it as a family tree, and that's the Beatles branch, you know, goes out, and then there's a limb that's power pop. And that's been my vein, you know. I got pretty wide taste other than that. I mean, I love soul music and singer songwriter stuff, you know, like, John Prine and James Taylor and all kinds of, you know, I just love anything that's well crafted and just kind of grabs you and speaks to you. You
know? And I'm gonna turn the clock ahead to 1977 or 78 and say My Aim is True and this year's Model.
Yeah.
And maybe Armed Forces the next year and maybe Argy Bargy and East Side 100%. Story. And 100%. Say,
yeah,
you and I got jumped on the bus around the same time when Elvis Costello arrived here. And it was like, this is different. This is way cool. You know, it was smart and hooky at the same time. Is that about right? Was that a watershed moment for you?
It's 100%. You know, if we had been friends back then, we would have been like, you know, thick as thieves with all of that and agreed on all of that. It's kind of funny. My wife and I and our daughter all had tickets to see Squeeze at the Ryman it's 2 weeks ago. Wow. And of course they canceled it. So we never went to Nashville to see Squeeze, but yeah, that's all of it right there.
But it was Squeeze in particular. Argy Bargy is another one of my core records or Argy Bargy, depending on who you're talking to, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
But, it really combined that pop sensibility that we know and love without the jangly 12-string guitars, which is another thing. I'm a huge Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers fan too. But it, like I said before, it was smart, you know, and you were an English major or something, weren't you? I mean, that people who read a lot and, you know, were, for lack of a better phrase, deep thinkers,
literate.
So something clicked there. It wasn't the Bee Gees, you know.
It's true. Yeah. 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 Chris Difford, their lyricist, was wicked sharp.
Oh yeah.
I remember reading an interview around the time of East Side Story and how he just kept a notebook with him, you know. I think it was actually a period of his life where he was like an alcoholic and going through girlfriend after girlfriend, but it's just this, I picture his little notebook. I'd love to have a look at that where he's just scribbling thoughts in the middle of the night, you know, and ended up in their songs. So.
Do you know Bill Templeton? Is he a friend of yours? Do you remember
him? I know Bill, like honestly, way back in the day, I did some writing for Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that magazine that became Music and Players and all that had started, I don't know if you know the history of it. Eric Snyder knows this. It started off as Rocks Off for the first year. 1980 was Rocks Off. And I was the writer. I was the only guy Bill knew who actually had a byline somewhere. But that was that fertile period right in there, 1980-81, where, you know, and I hate the expression new wave, but everything was kind of morphing into each other, you know. And and I look back very fondly on that period, and that was because of Bill. He's the guy that turned me on to Costello in the first place, even before he started calling him Cosmello, which he tends to do. I haven't seen Bill in a long time. So if you're out there, buddy, hey.
Hey Bill, if you're I don't know. I lost track of him too.
Yeah. Talk to me about Man for Electra. Was that same period? Was that early 80s or was it a little later?
It was early mid 80s up to about 92.
Okay.
And that was 100%. Like, we were kind of representing the Squeeze Costello camp here in the Tampa Bay. You know, our friends, the Headlights, would have been more Tom Petty, Birds, you know. And we were definitely that kind of short, sharp pop, you know.
So, we're talking skinny ties and white shoes and that whole sort of thing. Or was it more about, for you, more about like craftsmanship and making great records, great songs?
It was that. Yeah, we weren't very, you know, we weren't very ego. Yeah, we wouldn't dress up and put on a big show. We weren't those kind of guys. We were too nerdy and self-conscious for that. It was just the three of us against the world. We just get up there and do our songs. And
so that was a lot of Ybor City.
Yep.
I was off in Gainesville trying to get an education. It didn't work.
Right.
But that's where I was. I had left. I'm from here too, but I had left.
Right.
But that's what I understand. Paul Wilburn tells me about the wild, crazy days in Ybor City.
Yeah, we played Ybor, Blue Chair, Masquerade, you know, those places over here. It would have been Club Detroit.
Yeah.
Still kind of going there. Rob Douglas and the Swamp Club and El Gordo's. It was kind of a notorious little nothing spot on top of a Mexican restaurant out on the beach. But
I remember it.
Yeah.
He used to visit us
free reign up there in that room. So
so that you're a graphic designer, I guess, by trade. I guess that's the right way to say that. I mean, is that something that how are you a graphic designer pre-computers? Is that just you're an artist?
Yeah, but everything I do is on the computer. I have some talent. I didn't start out in the layout department cutting and pasting, literally.
Yeah.
So I came to it much later when computers
were. Oh, okay.
That was much later.
Did Man for Electra just morph into Ditch Flowers, or I'm trying to get my Ed Walter timeline straight. Was that? I know you took some time off.
There was a funny period in there where when Mad for Electra split up, I very briefly joined up with the Headlights because it turned out they were on their way out too. But Steve Robinson, the English Steve, had left that band, so
right.
I jumped in and helped those guys play a bunch of gigs for half a year or so. And Steve Connolly and I both kind of thought it's time to move on. So we had a little band that we started up called Drive Through Church.
Yes.
But this is roughly concurrent with the time that Steve also started his studio. He had an opportunity. He had some investors that helped him get started in that. So that quickly became like all consuming for him. And I kind of also at the same time, I our church was exploring contemporary worship.
Mm-hmm.
So they needed talent, you know.
They needed a new wave band there.
I was the closest thing to talent that they could come up with. No, it was a really fun, fertile time to explore that. So for a long time, I wasn't really out in the scene and in clubs and stuff around here, but I was playing just as much. It was just in a contemporary worship setting. And that was for about a decade.
And what made you decide to, try it again?
Yeah, some of my friends, particularly Mark Warren, you may know Mark. He's another great guitarist from around here who's been on the scene for years and years. Mark would keep in touch with me and invite me out to open for his band Barely Pink. Yeah, I'd just do a solo set at some of their gigs. Oh, yeah. And then I started sitting in with them, and I rekindled my friendship with Brian Merrill, who was the lead singer with Barely Pink. And so Brian and I, it was interesting. We'd never really struck a creative spark together, but that kind of initiated the Ditch Flowers.
Yeah. And that went on for quite a while, didn't it?
I think it was 8 years or so. We had a pretty good run. That was a lot of fun.
Was the Ditch Flowers entirely original music?
Yes.
Yes. And so was Mad for Electra.
Roundabout. We'd throw one or two, We were famous for doing And Your Bird Can Sing by the Beatles because Steve and I just really wanted to do those double lead parts. Yeah, that was fun. And Brian sang the heck out of that one. So
I love the alternate version on Anthology too, with the tempo is totally different. It sounds like a bird song with those timing 12 string thing. Have you ever seen somebody play that solo, like a single guy played at the same time?
I've done it.
Well, okay, then you have.
It doesn't sound as good.
No, it definitely doesn't.
When Steve and I do. But I worked out an arrangement to do that. I've actually done it live solo once or twice, depending on how many beers I've had.
Favorite Beatles songs? Ed?
That's one of them. I mean, honestly, though, it's strange. I was always a little more drawn to Paul. I feel like that's not as hip to say.
Yeah,
but those songs like Eleanor Rigby and Gotta Get You Into My Life, and just so many different styles that he could come up with, and just a brilliant, melody spinner. And
I'll tell you,
he's not always the best lyricist. Sometimes I think he's a little lazy, but some of his lyrics are pretty good too. So.
It is hipper to say, well, Lennon, there's so many great songs, but I would have to agree with you that if I was doing, my top 20 or whatever the hell it is, the fluid thing, I could not get away with not putting For No One in there or Martha, My Dear,
Exactly.
Yeah. And that attracted you too, the way of making, like, look at Martha, My Dear, though. It's a perfect little 3-minute record.
Yes.
All that stuff. I mean, why did that appeal to you? That sort of, because that's in a way what you do, there's all sorts of things going on to make the whole, as opposed to just like Neil Young, I go in the studio, do the song once and that's the record. Why do you like production and that kind of thing? Why does that do it for you?
I think it's because I was really drawn to those particular songs. I mean, it's just beautiful. I mean, the bones have to be there. It has to be a great song to begin with. But all those little touches, you mentioned Martha, My Dear, it's got the cool little brass parts in there that George Martin, orchestrated. And that's just lovely stuff. It's fun to pick out those little elements that really just add spice.
There's a lot of that on this record of yours and I guess in all the records you've done, it's
thank you. Yeah.
But what I think the best way, the best kind of like pure pop record, thank you Nick, the best way to do it is that it sounds perfect, but it doesn't sound perfect. It was perfect, it would be too much, perfection is for God, isn't that what the Navajos say, right?
I haven't heard that one, but that's great.
From somewhere deep in the past. So the Ditch Flowers going for about 8 years, and why has it been 6 since you've made one? I mean, did the pandemic have some of? I don't know. Well,
no,
okay.
I've been working on these songs for a little bit. I'll try to give you the capsule synopsis because I thought I'd. After the Ditch Flowers split up. I thought I'd try some solo stuff. Mm-hmm. And that would include probably more live solo, acoustic-y, you know. So I did an album that was very acoustic-based called Paper Boats. And that was 2014 that I did that. And honestly, at the time, I told a few people, you know, that might be the last album I do. I really almost thought of that as I was writing the songs and recording it. I thought, I want these songs to be really good because I might not do another one. You never know.
I mean, like you can't stay away. I know this. Come on.
Well, that's what I found out. So, but after that, I also did an album with Steve Robinson, the English Steve from the Headlights.
Yes.
Which if you haven't listened to, I'll send you a link to that because I think you would like that one.
I think that's, was that the one that Mr. Snyder was falling over himself talking about in his story? And
might have been one of them, but
I'd love that. Again, I came into this a little later, so yeah.
But in that intervening time, the last 5-6 years, I thought, I want to just help my friends out with whatever they want to do now. So I've been playing in Jeremy's band and the Florida Blue Orchestra and Steve Connolly's band. I'm his rhythm guitar player, and another band called Mercy McCoy, some younger guys that I know. It's an Americana band. Mm-hmm. They needed an extra instrument. And I said, I want to do that, you know? So I've been spending most of the time just, in there as a sideman, like helping my friends out with whatever they're working on.
You did the Nick Drake stuff with the orchestra. It was just amazing.
That was so great. I mean, to do. And that's the cool thing about Jeremy too, is he's like, I think he was listening to Nick Drake and he's like, I just know, I bet Ed would want to do a set of Nick Drake, and he starts imagining who else would be playing on that gig, you know. So he just knows, and if he comes up with an idea like that excites him, he's off and running, you know.
Yeah,
but that was a great show. I love doing that one.
You were at the Joni Mitchell one too, right? You played in that one.
That was the I played. So we did Nick Drake first set.
Yeah.
Then we did Joni. I'll never forget it because it was 14 different guitar tunings that night.
I kind of remember hearing you talk about that.
Yeah. So I had my friend Bobby Ryan. It's the only gig I've ever done where I had a guitar tech.
You know? Wow.
He was retuning. I had 4 guitars, but he would have to retune guitars after every song. And then we were...
I would imagine that she would just have when she was touring back in the day, would just have like 5 or 6 acoustics in a circle all tuned differently.
I'm sure she did, and I'm sure she had techs bringing stuff out. Some of her tunings were really weird tunings, like super low strings. And I read something somewhere that part of that was because she had I think she had some kind of degenerative condition. And it made it easier for her to fret the strings.
The version I always heard before I heard that one was that she couldn't play up. She couldn't bar an F chord. And it's like, well, what can I do?
It's related. Yeah. It's a similar problem. Yeah.
I just, Hijira is another one of my core records, or Hijira, again, depending on who's talking. Refuge of the Roads. I mean, some of those songs still, to me, for me, if I can interject myself for a second, a lot of it is, how does it road wear? You know, like if I put on After the Gold Rush now, it still sounds brilliant to me.
Yeah.
You know, if I put on Harvest, I can't get it off fast enough. It just doesn't work for me. Some of Joni's early stuff, I don't really need to listen to Ladies of the Canyon. I think it's brilliant. But Hissing Summer Lawns, Hijira, to me, it's absolutely timeless.
You want to
like all the Beatles stuff, you know? I had Rubber Soul on in the car yesterday. I mean, come on. How many times have I heard it? How many times have you heard it? I like the American one better than the British one. That's the only version that I think.
Uh-oh. Heresy. You know, my friend Steve Robinson, I'm talking about the English Steve from the Headlights. Yeah, we have discussions about that.
What's the one?
I think it's weird that I think it's weird that Drive My Car opens Rubber Soul.
You think?
Officially, I think, how can you not have, I've just seen a face, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm with you.
I've just seen a face, and then It's Only Love on side two, to me. I mean, it keeps the kind of acoustic flavor. I mean, I think it's a little better, because Drive My Car to me is kind of a weak song. I mean, it's a great production and everything, but What Goes On, you can have, sorry. But yeah, we could, tell Steve to give me a call. We'll have the conversation. We are almost at the end of our
together
here, as they say.
It was fun chatting with you, and you know, we just forgot the guitars there for a while, which is fun. I'm a little rusty.
Yeah, you and me both, man. So what happens now? I mean, how do you get out and promote this record? I mean, this is what you're doing here.
It's very weird. I mean, a lot of my friends, you know, I've talked to different people about this, and the album was ready. It was just ready. And it's a weird time though to put it out. Part of me felt like, is it even decent to put something out and crow about, you know, hey, I've got a new album, you know? But I just have to remind myself how much I've loved new music this year. I just love, you know, you listen to Theo Katzman at all? You know who he is?
No, I don't.
You need to check Theo Katzman out. There's still like really exciting, good music coming out that I've really especially appreciated, I think, this year, you know.
It's nice to know that it's still being made, that creativity still exists, you know, albeit in this weird vacuum we live in.
So I don't know. I can't really, I'm not going to go out and perform. I know a lot of my friends are putting their toes in that water and doing that. I'm not ready for that, you know? So I don't know when I'll be out doing gigs again. So it's a funny time to be trying to promote a record.
Can I ask you to play Migrator? Would you do that for me?
I'd love to play Migrator. Yeah.
That's my favorite one on the record.
Is it really? You know what?
It's just such a beautiful melody, and little turns of melody are just so nice.
Thanks, man. I'm glad you know, I've heard from a lot of people that like that song, but I haven't shared with other people always, except people closest to me, but that might be my favorite too. I'm just especially happy with that one. So.
You and me, birds of a feather, man. That's what I told you.
Birds.
Yeah.
Birds.
Yeah. With a Y.
All right. Yeah. Migrator. Let me see. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Soon, flying over oceans by the light of harvest moon. Death-defying feet as heart and wing both beating tune. Tune in to the stars. Now set your clock upon the clock as you pass over the equator. With your song, echoes from afar. And you are practiced in the art of storing up a part for later. Time.
stirring in your soul, a budding feeling that you know. Feel the axis turn that you discern will only grow. Eye upon the mark. I wish you all good health. You'll find that in yourself lies something greater.
Absolutely beautiful. Wherever you migrate next, F. Walt Hill, my brother in music, I will look forward to that. The record is One in My Tree. It is out now. You can get it online, get it through your website, mm-hmm. I suspect.
EdWaltHill.bandcamp.com is a good place to go. You can listen on Spotify and Apple Music too if you want to just
stream. Beautiful.
You know, so. Thanks so much, Bill. Yeah, thanks.
Pleasure. We'll see you soon, buddy, I hope.
Yeah, I hope so too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right.
From stpetecatalyst.com.